It is time for a weekly state news roundup. Noah Ovshinsky joins us now. He is the assistant news director here at WPR.
Noah, welcome to Central Time.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
Well, let's start by taking a look at a would-be law that's been kicking around the courts for a while, the controversial voter ID law. Where are we on that one?
So as we get closer to the end of the legislative session, which is just in a few weeks here, and closer to the election season, the issue of voter ID has resurfaced. This week, it's resurfaced primarily because Governor Walker said this week that he would be willing to call a special session to modify the existing law should there be a ruling in either the state or federal courts that you just referred to. The law is currently being challenged by the NAACP and the League of Women Voters.
And what sorts of things could be done? I understand Governor Walker is talking about changes that might be made to keep the law from being struck down. What is he looking at?
You're right. So one of the other interesting things that happened this week was Governor Walker said, really acknowledged that lawyers at the Department of Justice here in Wisconsin feel the tweaks do need to be made to the current law in order for them to be upheld or, I guess in this case, to prevent them from being struck down by the courts. And there are a few tweaks, they are actually – those tweaks are already included in legislation that's passed the Assembly. And basically what it does is it allows voters who don't have IDs to sign affidavits at the polls attesting to their identity. These tweaks have been done in other states like Indiana where voter ID laws have been challenged. The state Senate has not voted on that bill. The leaders in that chamber are waiting to see what happens in the courts. They feel the Assembly version weakens the law too much, and so they haven't voted on it yet.
And so if this tweak does happen, allowing voters to sign affidavits at the polls saying they are who they say they are, what sort of circumstances would allow for a person to sign an affidavit?
Right. So under the bill that's in the Assembly right now, or I should say that passed the Assembly, allows somebody to vote without an ID if they say, if they attest to the fact that they're too poor to get an ID, if they have religious objections to showing an ID, or if the voter can't produce the documents they needed in order to get that ID.
So this has been, as we know, a hotly debated law in Wisconsin.
Huge.
And not just Wisconsin, around the country. What are the flashpoints to watch among critics and supporters?
Yeah, voter ID laws are one of those things that have really surfaced in the last few years especially, and they are very controversial. Supporters of voter ID across the country and here in Wisconsin say that the requirement that somebody must show an ID at the polls, it ensures the integrity of the elections. It makes sure that the elections are fair and that there isn't fraud. Critics, of which there are many, say that, you know, this is essentially a solution in search of a problem. They say voter fraud isn't really an issue, and that, in fact, the effort to require an ID at the polls is really an effort to suppress mainly Democratic voters in largely urban areas, people who aren't as or are less likely to have IDs.
And this is one to watch. Governor Walker has said he wants this in place by the next election, right?
Right. Of course, that's one of the things. That's why there is something of a timeline here. The governor and I'm sure others would like to have this law in place by then. Of course, we'll have to see whether or not we'll have to see what the courts have to say. And then we'll have to see what the Senate and the Assembly have to say once those rulings come down.
All right. Well, there was also some movement on other election-related bills this week. Let's start with proposed changes to absentee voting. How would the bill modify the way absentee voting takes place here in Wisconsin?
All right. So continuing on this election theme this week, a few bills moved through the legislature. The Senate passed a controversial bill that prohibits in-person absentee voting on weekends and also puts a cap on the number of hours a clerk can have in-person absentee voting during the work week. Under the bill, early voting would only be done upwards of 45 hours a week.
And who does this largely affect here?
Right. So this largely affects Madison and Milwaukee, both areas that have a lot of early voting. There are a lot of people who take advantage of weekend hours, a lot of people who take advantage of the extended hours during the weekday. Supporters, including many Democrats, who at least in Madison and in Milwaukee, a lot of these voters, you know, they vote Democratic. The supporters say, you know, that a robust early voting system, it takes into account the realities of people's schedules these days. You know, they argue that the traditional 9-to-5 job for many people is a thing of the past. Supporters of the bill, people who'd like to see early voting shrunk, say that, you know, having generous early voting is unfair to rural communities who may not have the resources to have a lot of early voting. So for Republicans in the legislature, this bill essentially levels the playing field.
And there was, as I said, motion in both in the absentee voting and where are we with that right now?
Right. So the early voting bill now heads to the assembly. So we'll see where that goes.
And looking at another story here, this one not so hotly contested. Hot is the wrong word, in fact. Icy is a better word. The ice caves in
well
Lake
played.
Superior.
Well played.
So these have been getting national attention, not just national, international attention, as stories and pictures have gone viral. Tell us what's going on with the ice caves up north.
Right. So on a slightly lighter and somewhat sad note, I have to say, the ice caves near Cornucopia are closing no later than Sunday. As of right now, they are open, but they will be open no longer than Sunday evening. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, this turned out to be a big story for Wisconsin. 100,000 people have visited these ice formations since January. That's a lot of people. In fact, the single day record was reached last Saturday when 14,000 people visited the caves. The previous single day record was 11,000. You know, this has just been a great story for Wisconsin, you know, because it's been certainly great for the local economy in northern Wisconsin. And it's made, you know, national and international headlines. It's really put the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, it's really brought up to the forefront.
And Wisconsin Public Radio is at the vanguard of that story,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have covered this story extensively. We've tracked the numbers of people who have visited. We've done a Wisconsin Life. We've talked about it on the talk shows. I would urge anybody who hasn't seen pictures of these ice caves to go to our website right now or go on Facebook and look for the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore page and look at photos of these caves. They're gorgeous, and they're not going to last long.
All right. Noah, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
Noah Ovshinsky is WPR's assistant news director. He joins us every week at this time to look at what's making news in Wisconsin.
Now we're continuing our nod to Wisconsin musicians playing at the South by Southwest Music Festival in Austin. We've been playing their songs throughout the show. So far we've heard from the bands Fox, Vic and Gab, and Hugh Bob and The Hustle.
Right now we'll hear a song from Milwaukee-born and based artist Classic. He plays the jazz saxophone, and his music focuses on positive messages. He was named Solo Artist of the Year at the 88.9 Radio Milwaukee Music Awards. This song is called Boogie, based on a cover of Michael Jackson's Blame It on the Boogie.
All right. Well, everybody, come on. We party to the sunshine. Then we wake up in the moonlight. We can have a good time.